Welcome to the More Life Church podcast. We are always encouraged to know that God is working through this ministry to touch lives. So if you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know and send us an email to amen@morelifechurch.com. Now enjoy today's message.
Josh asked me to do the final series of How Do I Share My Faith in the Arguing with Jesus. But before we get into that, if you can entertain us online, if you let me entertain you for just a minute, I am so excited. In 2 weeks, we are not going to be in this particular auditorium. Anybody else excited or stoked about that? We have had two amazing work days. The first work day we had two Saturdays ago, we worked those people so hard, they didn't come back. And we had a new group of people that showed up on this Saturday, and they're not coming back. No, I'm kidding. But listen, here is what was awesome about our work day, was that the hearts of God's people, it wasn't the work that got done. That was nice. But at the end of the day, it was a way that we talked, fellowship, come together, there's always food. So we ate together and we cleaned and we painted. So I want to give them a round of applause for their hard work and dedication and their heart. Thank you. You know, Daniel and I did not, this has nothing to do with how I share my faith, but to a degree, Daniel and I did not collaborate the last song. As I was getting my sermon messages ready last night and finishing things up. I've been working on them for probably the past 4 weeks. God put something in my heart about this spot. And part of it was, you know, God, I'm a little bummed. We're leaving here. And, you know, this is my last time ever preaching, because this thing's going to get torn down, preaching on this stage. So I was a little bummed. In 2 weeks, you know, we're not going to be in here. And I thought, and God said, but you know what, Larry? Here's what's going on. You know how many people have given to their lives to God in this room? Hundreds. Hundreds of people have given their life to Christ. Hundreds have had their lives changed. Hundreds have been given hope. Hundreds have been healed. Hundreds of people have had their life changed because of people and this space. Well, so what's going to happen, God? We don't have that space. And he said, no. Guess what? I have a new thing. This space, in case you're wondering, what is this space going to become? Well, I'm so glad you asked. This space is going to be called our common area, hangout area. You know how you get to church and you want to hang out, but there's nowhere to be? This is going to have tables and chairs and couches in it. And here's what's going to happen. I believe this with all my heart. There's going to be people that get saved in this space right here. It isn't just there. People are going to get saved because of the anointing and the power of a living God, because people care. They're going to have hope. They're going to find God, find freedom, and start serving a mighty God. Why? Because they hang out in this room. They were hanging out, and they had coffee with someone else like you. Well, what did that look like? And God showed me through that last song. It said they were broken stones made of an altar. They made an altar of broken stones. Well, in Exodus, the Bible says that God came to Moses. You can put this in your notes. It's kind of about what we're going to talk about, but listen to me. This is so good. And God came to Moses and said, Moses, I brought the people out. They're still a mess. They're not perfect, but I want you to tell them I love them. I will always be their God, and I will bless them. I will bless them. And he said, built an altar of stones. Now listen, that you don't put a tool to. I don't want them to fit. I want this to be an altar of jagged stones that don't fit. So every time you look at it, it isn't anything that you've done, but it's everything that I have done. God is good, isn't he? And so Moses built an altar, and the people worshiped, and they saw the altar, and they gave their sacrifices. And every time they looked at it, it was a remembrance to them that they were not perfect and God loved them anyway. I don't know who that's for today, but it was good for me last night when I got it. And then Daniel did that song. That was awesome. All right, well, we're going to get right into the message. And it's, how do I share my faith? When we started the series weeks ago, what we did was that we did a poll and we had you guys fill out things and said, hey, what are your questions? And the very first thing that Josh did was we compiled that. And so he did the first message series, the very first message he did was the most asked question. And this, I'm sad to say, was the least asked question. How do I share my faith? So I know at least two people filled that out and the rest of you can go home. So that was a joke. You guys can laugh. So it starts with Mark chapter 16, verse 15. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. If we can put that up on the screen. And it says, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Preach the good news. Preach the good news. So what that means is this. A lot of times we read that and we think that is reserved to disciples and to preachers. Now listen to me. It's going to help you with taking notes. We're all disciples of Christ if you're following him. So you don't get out of it. But it's so hard. How many of you think sharing your faith can be really awkward and hard? See, the reason why they got, thank you for the one person. Everybody else says, I'm good. I just go out. I'm ready to preach. So the one honest person, I get it. I have an evangelistic spirit, but I didn't always have that. I did not always have that. So it was hard for me. And I can remember using Bible tracts. That was my go-to. I had Bible tracts, you know, and I kept them. So if I went out that really went out to eat and I didn't know how to connect with the person who was serving me, or, you know, I would just put a Bible tract down. And typically the Bible tract would say, turn or burn, you know, those kind of things, right? You know, turn or burn. If you died today, where would you go? Heaven or hell? And it was right in your face. Let's just bust right into this, right? This is what we're going to do. And it became very awkward, even at work. And it reminds me, at least of me, of this next video of how I felt trying to share the gospel.
Morning, Jim. Robert. Hey.
Hi, Jim.
Trika.
Have any of you ever felt like that's what that can be like, trying to share your faith. So what I want you to do is to say this. Is everybody repeat after me and say, I met this guy. Okay, now it didn't seem like any of you met anybody. So let's say it again with some conviction. Say, I met this guy.
I met this guy.
That's how you're going to share your faith. You see, there are many reasons. I only have about 25 minutes to really kind of teach and show you guys how to do this and what goes on. And that's not much time in a very big topic subject. So there are many things that can stop us from sharing our faith. Many. Here are three that I believe are the top big three. Number one, if you want to take notes, this is going to be helpful. Number one is knowledge. I don't know the Bible very well. Anyone ever felt like that? Man, what if I start going up against someone who's an atheist and how do I answer questions? And what if it's someone who's a professor? Or what if, you know, I get to a debate or an apologetics or again, listen, I met this guy. No one can tell your story better than you, ever. If you have met this guy, and there has been a change, only you can tell that story the way you can tell it. I can't tell your story. I tell mine, right? And so it isn't about what we know. And I know this sounds really cheesy, and it isn't about what we know, but it's about who we know. And it isn't always about what you say, that's helpful, but it's more about what we do in sharing our faith. Sharing our faith is more about knowing, and I know what some of you are thinking, you're like, man, Josh, you know, he just kind of knows, and Larry, he's just so full of wisdom, and he's so smart, and he knows so much, and I could never even do that. Go back to, I met this guy. And if you stick to that, this is going to be helpful, right? So I'm going to move right along. Number two, pressure for a decision to close the deal. What does that mean? It's simply this. Some of you who are like to go out and get people saved, you know, that's just, I'm going to go knocking on doors, you know? I mean, I still remember my first experience. I had given my life to Jesus because I had met this guy, Jesus, and he changed my life. And so I thought, you know, I'm going to go out. And the church I went to, we all called each other brother and sister, right? Everybody was brother and sister. John, brother and sister so-and-so, you know. And so I was going out with Brother Jim. And he was an older gentleman. And I still remember me being petrified, and we were going to knock on doors. I was excited, but I was scared because I had this burning thing that I wanted to kind of tell people that I had met this guy. Something changed in my life. And I remember first door we knocked on, he's like, dude, just chill. I got this. I'm like, that's good. I'll just stand right here and look stupid. I'm really good at that. And so person came to the door and they answered the door. And he's like, hi, I'm Jim. And this is Larry, you know, from thus and such church. How are you doing? Fine. I'm like, so far, so good. This is easy. So do you guys go to church? No, we don't really go to church. Well, let me ask you a question. If you died today, would you go to heaven or hell? And I'm like, oh, wow, dude, this guy's going in straight up, head first. Whoa. You know, and as we went through the day, it really wasn't very effective. And there were a few times that there were a few doors that we went to that were really large men. And when he asked that question, I thought they were going to ask me that question. If you died today, well, where would you go? Get off my porch. That was my experience at that time. Is there anything wrong with that? I'm saying no. But we're always trying to close a deal. I want to change your thoughts. It's going to make somebody mad who's just a soul-saving fool going out. Change your goals. My goal is not to go out and to get everybody saved. I don't have that goal. You know what my goal is? Is to share good news, which is part of my story. That's it. Pressure's off. Guys, we could go home. Pressure's off. You don't save anybody. You don't have to go, oh man, you know, I don't know, what if they die in a car accident? That's not my thing, man. That's not my deal. My deal is that I'm going to share the love of Christ. What I met this guy that happened in my life, that's what I'm going to do. No longer am I going to put the burden of I got to close deals of, well, you went out. Did they get saved? How many people got saved? Well, nobody. I did. What? You didn't get anyone saved? I don't save anybody, man. I'm just going to go out and tell them what Jesus did for me. And then if the door opens, then we'll walk through that door, right? But I'm not just barreling through it. Number two is that. Number three, this is a good one. This is my lifestyle. I'm not that good of a person. We've all been there. You know, can I be honest with you? If I share an honest story, when I gave my life to Christ, and we had our first child. It wasn't long after that we had our first child, Andrea. And I thought, because of all of my bad stuff and all of my messes, this is what I thought. I was hoping that she was going to be born okay. Because I thought there was going to be a payment for my mess that she would have to suffer through and be born a certain way. Now, I don't know if that's going to really reach down into someone's spirit this morning. But maybe you've thought that. I'm not good enough. I've done so many bad things that I deserve this. God, it's okay. I deserve this. Well, I'm here to tell you, that's not the kind of God that we serve. I was fearful of that, of my first child. I hope they have 5-10 fingers and feet and everything's okay, because something's probably going to be happening because I'm such was such a bad person and I deserve this. Now, I will say on the flip side of that, I used to work at a factory. And if you know anything about factories, no offense to that, is that it can be a different environment, to say the least, right? It was 70% women and about 30% men. First factory I ever worked in my life. I have never heard so many uses of cuss words in my entire life as I have by women in a factory. It was crazy. I mean, it was just crazy. And I found myself as a Christian being sucked into lifestyles that was not pleasing and honoring to God. Now, listen to me. So jokes would be told and I would laugh, and then maybe I would tell a joke that maybe shouldn't have been told, and then I would embark in some of this backbiting and saying stuff, and yeah, the management really stinks, and talking about people. And then I felt like I needed to share the gospel at times, and I was real confused. What are they going to do with how I have acted? Let's go to Colossians. Let's go to Colossians. We're going to go ahead. Actually, if you can put that up, I can actually see that. First of all, Paul says in Colossians at the very, very beginning, he says to pray. So what should we do if we want to share our faith? Let me submit this to you. It's very important. And I'm going to go into a story that is just powerful. Pray. You want to share the gospel? Pray. Pray first. You got to pray. Paul said, I got to pray. And then he says this. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. I had to have a check in my spirit as a Christian that I could no longer, listen, I'm not saying you have to be a party pooper and you can't, but listen, when you start acting like the world and then tell the world that you got something to say that I met this guy, they're going to go, yo, you just like me. You just like me. You're acting like me. You do the things I do. Your life's a mess. You're complaining all the time. Worried about this, worried about that. So I'm not sure what guy you met. You know, I need to see something different. The world needs to see, y'all, the world needs to see something different that's transforming, that's powerful, that's anointed, that has life. Do you know that there are over 4,000, estimated, 4,200 religions in the world? What makes it different? I met this guy. I don't know what you do, but I met this guy. And here's what happened to my life. So I've been praying back in June. I want to tell you the story that's powerful. I asked God, and listen, we're all disciples. God has asked all of us to go into the world and to preach the good news. Great news. Well, what's the good news? If you died today, do you know where you go? That's not real good news to most people. I'm just saying, it's not. By the way, you're a sinner. Do you know you're doing that wrong? You know that's not right. Do you know that you're going to die and go to hell? That doesn't sound like good news. What's good news to the prostitute is that she doesn't have to do that no more. What's good news to the homeless is that they can have a home, right? That's good news. What's good news to those that don't have families is that you can have a family. That's hope. We give hope to people. We give hope to people. Are you with me this morning? So I start praying. I say, God, I want you to use me in every way possible. Every way possible, use me. As a follower of you. And so I started praying. God, use me. Make sure you open my eyes. You know, how many of you know that when you're at Walmart, Kroger, Target, gas station, wherever you go, there you are, first of all. And wherever you go, there's people around you, all around you, that is hurting. They have issues. The world has issues. Have you not turned on the news? I used to get frustrated with the news, but I changed that. And I'm going to go back to my story. I get excited about the news. Do you know why I get excited? The Bible says that in the last days, perilous times will come. Instead of getting all scared and nervous, I'm like, ho, here we go. There's another this, there's another that. Rumors of wars. This is happening. Kids are disobedient to parents. All kinds of craziness with weather. And this is toxic. This is what's happened. Murders. I'm not excited about bad, that bad stuff. But what I'm excited about, it says, hey, kids, Hey, kids, those of you that are saved, look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. I'm coming soon. You better get excited. You better start working. The harvest is white, but the laborers are few. Do we need more laborers? Yes, but not really. Some of the people that are employed by Jesus really ought to get off their butt and start working, is what ought to happen. That's what needs to happen. It's the truth. We got to get going. See, the laborers are few. It just really means there ain't nobody working. We got workers. Listen, we're not in a union. God doesn't work that way. This is off script, but we're not in a union. You know, when I was in that union, here's what I found. Is that people that worked 10 years, 15 years. And some of the view is probably going to make you mad, but that's okay because God's kingdom does not work like a union. The things of the world drift into the church sometimes. And what happens is people that have been there 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, what that meant, they don't have to work anymore. And I found that like, what?
I got seniority, dude.
So, yeah, this workday thing. Yeah, I've been doing this quite a long time. I've already been to a few workdays. I'm kind of, I got seniority. Somebody else can jump in there. Going out, telling people about Jesus. Yeah, I've been doing that since I've been 13. I'm kind of done now. I've kind of got seniority in the Jesus thing. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, kind of a big deal, you know. Jesus said, the first shall be last, the last shall be first. Jesus was asked, hey guys, who is the greatest amongst us? Who is the greatest? And Jesus simply said, he that serves. It's the complete opposite of what we do in a worldly situation, don't we? In unions. I don't have to work anymore. I've been here 15 years, y'all. I got seniority. And you see, that's important that we don't let that infiltrate with what God is doing in our lives of the harvest is white, but the laborers are few. Colossians said we have to be smart. We have to be super smart. So what story was I telling? Somebody help me out. I just got sidetracked. I sidetracked myself. What story? Somebody help me out. Oh, yes, I was praying in June. Thank you. And it's important. I was praying in June. And I said, God, I was in the office. I'll never forget it. And I said, God, show me. What do I need to do? Well, on Thursdays, this is important, I usually take my little Mini Cooper and I pick up all of those of you that love coffee and all of those of you that are hot chocolate lovers. It's back, hallelujah. Hot chocolate is back and I gotta pick that up. And so my Mini Cooper will typically fit one coffee thing and filters. That's all that fits in my car. But I go to Walmart to pick up coffee and all that stuff and supplies on Thursday. Well, Wednesday was really weird. I thought, you know, I'm going to go today. How many of you know the steps of a righteous man and woman are ordered of the Lord? How many of you know that? They just are. So I thought it was by chance. I was just sitting at the desk. I thought, you know what? I'm going to go today. And so I drove to Walmart, got in my car. It's Wednesday. I don't go on Wednesday. And I parked at the Heath Walmart. And as you're looking at the Walmart, I parked clear over to the side by the GFS area. There's a parking there for Walmart. And I never parked there. And I didn't. I'm like, this is weird. I'm a creature of habit. I try to find over here. And so I parked. That was weird. And there was a parking spot right beside me. I noticed that was empty. No big deal. So I got out of my car and I started praying. I said, Lord, make sure that I don't walk by people and I get task oriented. Because how many of you can do that? Dude, I'm on a mission. I need filters and coffee. Get out of my way. I need that. I need this stuff. I'm on a mission. And so I got my card, and after I prayed, though, I thought, well, slow her down a little bit. So everybody I passed, I was like, you know, maybe God has, you know, given him that spiritual look, like, you got, you good, all right. Lord, I don't want to miss him. I don't want to miss him, you know. And so I walked in. Yeah, I had nothing. I'm like, okay, whatever. And I walked out, so I started walking to my car with my stuff, and there was this big black Suburban backed into right into the spot right beside me. And it was a little bit weird because the windows are all blacked out. It was looking sharp. It looked like something from CSI or from Drug Lord somewhere. I'm not sure. But it had different license plates on it, like Maryland. I'm serious. I don't know if it was a cartel. It was Maryland. And I'm like, okay, dude, they're right beside my car. I got on spiritual real quick. I'm thinking, where's my conceal and carry? Don't have that. This is getting weird. And so I saw two guys, and they were about in their 50s. And the reason why I know that is because I'm like 35. So I could tell they were like 50-something. They looked old. And so I saw them and they had like tie-dye t-shirts and headbands and they were smoking. And they weren't just smoking anything, they were smoking. You understand what I'm saying? And so, you know, I smell it and, you know, I start to get in my car and put my stuff up. And I'm like, hey, guys, I'm kind of watching them because it's just weird. I started getting in my car and I felt like God say, hey, ask him another question. And I'm like, what? And just don't get in your car and leave. Okay, all right. And I'm weirded out because I don't know what they're going to do. So I around and say, hey, man, I just happened to notice, not that it's a big deal, not a cop, but your license plate's from Maryland. Y'all from Maryland? Yeah, we just rented it. Oh, so what are you guys here? There's a big hullabaloo thing going on in June. You know, we're whatever, music, and man, we've never been so high. We've never been so drunk. And the guy on the passenger side over there, I'm going to have to be careful how I say this. There's mixed company here. But he just went on to say, hey, there was a lot to see. Let me just leave it at that. He didn't say it that way. And I never said I was a pastor. I don't ever go right in, hi, I'm Staff Pastor Larry, you know. I don't do that. And I'm like, okay. Well, they're telling me this stuff. And they're like, yeah, we're having a good time. I'm like, all right, God, what's all this about? And I said, okay, so that's really why you're here. You guys having a good time. Well, the guy sitting right beside me driving the car says, well, actually, I've been given 6 months to live. I have cancer, and this is my last hurrah. Bingo. I knew. I knew then. I have 6 months to live. He kind of teared up a little bit. Kind of put his stuff down, and I said, hey, man, that's okay. I said, hey, I'm actually a pastor out of More Life. Let me stop you right there, he said. I actually went to Bible college. I've been running from God. I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Dude, this is crazy that we met. I said, yeah, it is, isn't it? And I said, hey, is it okay if I pray for you? He said, yeah. And you always want to ask somebody. I've learned the hard way. You don't just touch people. I said, is it okay if I put my hand on your shoulder? Again, I've learned the hard way. And he said, sure, man, that's okay. And so the guy had his stuff, and they're kind of holding it down like, dude, it's still lit. And I'm praying. hey, you know what? You know what I can tell you? Listen, I wasn't intimidated. They were cussing. They were smoking. And I'm like, God, my God's bigger than that. Why? I met this guy. I got something to say. I got something y'all need. I got something you need. See, you think you're happy, but, you know, you think you're happy right now doing all this stuff, but you ain't happy. Because at the end of it, you get done, and you ain't happy no more. And I wasn't intimidated. I started getting excited. And I said, can I pray for you and put my hands? Yeah. And I prayed for him, and I got done. I said, God, you know what? You're not done with him. You have an assignment. You have called him. God, I just ask that you heal his body in Jesus' name. And you get in his life, and you send people in his life right now in Jesus' name. And he was crying, and I prayed for him. I got done. And the guy over on the passenger side said, hey, Pastor, because he's the one that, hey, I'm really sorry about all that stuff I said about naked people. I just wanted to say. And I said, hey, it's okay, man. It's all good. He goes, no, really. That's really weird. I'm sorry I said all that. And I said, you know what, man? I said, God loves you, and I love you. And that doesn't change anything. And I got on my car, and I drove away. I had tears in my eyes, and I was like, man, God, you're so awesome. And I said, God, right now, I don't know where they're going. I don't know what they're doing. But God, please send people in their lives. You see, the Bible says that one plants, someone will toil, and another person waters, and God will bring forth the increase. At some point in our lives, we have got to get out of this goal of every person I talk to, I have to lead them to the Lord, and I got to walk them through salvation. And you know what I've got to do? I have to love people. We have to love people. And I learned a very valuable lesson in that day. Is it isn't about culture. See, in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, it was easy, kind of, being able to share your faith because there were buzzwords that other people kind of knew, and it was okay. Our culture has changed. In the 60s, 70s, and 80s, you could talk about salvation, sanctification, the blood of Jesus, the crucifixion, the resurrection, the rapture. You could talk about those things, and even people who kind of didn't go to church kind of understand. Listen, we live in a culture today that if you were to just say, go up to a millennial and say, hey, Jesus died for you. They might look at you and go, wow, that's really too bad. They wouldn't understand. We have got to bridge a gap, and the gap is not bridged by using churchy words. It's not gap by hallelujah, brother, praise the Lord. Jesus is good. God is good all the time and all the time. Good. See, we know that stuff. We know that stuff, but other people don't know that stuff. And they think we're weird. We got to unweird ourselves. And you know what we have to do? There's one thing, folks, that bridges that culture gap, that misunderstanding. And it is one single word, and it is love. Daniel, if you could come up and help me. And I say that every service, and I always say, Daniel, can you come up and help me? He's not going to do anything. He's just playing keyboards. He ain't helping me. Nah, I love him. He's helping me. It's just weird we say that. Everybody say, I met this guy. Guys, there are four things real quick. We're going to get done. Four things, more than that, but four things I know that we can do that will help bridge this gap. And that's love people. Love people. Ask questions. I started thinking about how did that whole truck thing came about? First of all, I prayed. Write that down. I prayed. And then when God gave me that opportunity, I asked questions. Hey, where are y'all from? It wasn't Jesus questions. It wasn't anything spiritual. I wanted to know. You guys from Maryland? What's going on? Why are you here? It's weird you're in Newark. You don't look like Newark people. Kind of, but not. Get in their life. Find out something about them. When you ask those questions, love them where they're at and share your story. Share your story. Because I shared my story. When I go into the jail, I usually share my story this quick, and here's why. People will judge you. And when I go in and there are people that have been in jail and they've done some bad things, they're wearing their, you know, outfits that they have to wear there. I know if I go in like this, and regardless of, I know immediately as soon as I stand up, hi, I'm Larry from More Life Church. Punk. He don't know nothing about my life. I know what's going on in their minds with their tattoos and their badness and everything that they think they've done. I know what they're thinking. They're like, dude, probably grew up in church, went to college. You know, I'm thinking, you know what? I'm not judging you. I know you're doing that to me. So I'm going to help set you free real quick. Hi, my name's Larry. I'm not going to judge you for what you guys done or what. I don't know what you've done. Doesn't matter to me. Here's what I know. I've done things too. I just didn't get caught. And let me tell you a little bit about my story. It goes real quick before I can get to the message so they can understand. My name's Larry. I didn't grow up in church. Matter of fact, I grew up without a dad. I don't know what my dad's real name is. Even to this day, don't know if he's alive or dead. And the only dad I ever had, he shot and killed himself. He was an alcoholic. He committed suicide. I had to clean it up. It wasn't cool. I went through a marriage of 1 year that was bad, and most of it was my fault. But what I want you to know is that God has restored me. That's my story. And he can restore you. And you know what? They all go from this to like, whoa, what the? And then I say, let's get into the word. Because they heard my story. See, if they can hear your story. See, maybe your story's not like mine. Maybe you're online and your story isn't like mine. Maybe your story is. Here's what I want you to know about a story. There was an old country church, and they used to do testimony night on Sunday night. Church was full that night. There was a biker there, some homeless people there. Pastor opened up the floor. Hey, somebody got a testimony. A biker stood up, gave his testimony. Homeless person, other people, but God had delivered them. You know, we all tend to sit in a pew and hear stories, and you might hear mine and go, well, Larry, that's, and I'm sure they heard stories in that and go, wow, mine seems kind of weak. the little old lady stood up after everybody was down the back. She goes, yeah, sister so-and-so. She was probably in her mid to late 80s. The lady said, I just want to thank God for delivering me from alcoholism. Got really quiet. I want to thank God for delivering me from prostitution and murder, evilness, hate, and anger. Everybody's like, dude, we didn't know sister so-and-so was like that. What in the world? I just want to thank God for delivering me from this and that. Drugs. She said, finally she said, I want to thank God that when I was 10 years old, I received Christ and I never had to experience any of that. That's my story. Maybe that's your story. That's okay. Because the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all fallen short. The wages of sin, because of that, the wages of sin is death. Eternal death, and even death on this earth. But here's what I know. I met this guy. And the Bible says that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through Jesus, the world might be saved. That's my story. Where would I be? I know I wouldn't have a daughter that came up and did the transition so well. A wife, 38 years married. I don't know who my dad is, but I know who my dad is. It's all good. It's all good, man. It's good. And because of him, I live. Why don't we bow our heads, close our eyes? You know, like I said at the beginning, it really isn't about the pressure anymore for me of giving an altar call. This place is an altar to God. Broken stones, messed up stones. We're all broken and messed up to some degree. So what I want to ask you today would not be good if I were to talk about my faith and I met this guy without sharing with you. I would love for you to meet him too. If you've never, this is between you and God. It's not about me. It's not about anybody else here. I'm not going to ask you to get out of your seat. I'm not going to ask you to say anything. Get up. I'm not going to call you out. What I want to ask you is this. If you've never heard the gospel, is that you can be forgiven and on your way to heaven. The Bible says that if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that you would be saved. If that's you today, just so that you and I know and God, could you slip up your hand? If you've never done that, thank you. I see you back there. Is there anyone else? Thank you. You can go ahead and put your hand down. Anyone else? I don't want to miss anybody. You've never done that. Well, we're all going to pray. We're all going to pray together with that one that raised their hand. All of heaven is rejoicing, the Bible says now. So why don't we all pray this prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son. Thank you that you sent him for me to die on the cross just for me. I believe in my heart. And I say with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. He rose from the dead just for me so that I might have life. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Why don't we give a round of applause? Amen. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that you have been blessed through the teaching of God's word. This resource is generously supported by More Life Church and listeners like you. We would like to give you the opportunity to partner with us to impact the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. To give or to learn more about More Life Church, visit our website at morelifechurch.com.